And now, O kings, understand, take warning, you who judge the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and exult before him with trembling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. 90 years ago, next month, on the 11th of December, 1925, as a special grace for the closing of the Jubilee year of 1925, Pope Pius XI of blessed memory instituted this first-class feast of the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, while the church has been celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, for example, since at least the 200s or maybe even earlier, we've only been celebrating today's Feast of Christ the King for 89 years. That means that some of you were actually alive when this feast was established in 1925. In his encyclical letter establishing the feast, Quas Primas, Pope Pius XI said, "By our apostolic authority, we institute the feast of the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ to be observed yearly throughout the whole world on the last Sunday of the month of October, the Sunday, that is, which immediately precedes the Feast of All the Saints." Now, why did the Pope pick the last Sunday of October? He gives two reasons. First of all, he says that the Feast of the Kingship of Christ sets the crowning glory upon the mysteries of the life of Christ already celebrated during the year. That makes sense, right? We've already celebrated his conception, his birth, his passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension, his life, his miracles. We crown it, pun intended, with his kingship. And he says the second reason is that we, before celebrating the triumph of all the saints, we proclaim and extol the glory of him who triumphs in the saints. That makes sense to me too. Before All Saints Day, it is fitting, it is proper and just to give glory to the King first, before honoring those whom he has crowned with glory in heaven. So we shouldn't honor the royal subjects before we honor the King himself. And so Pope Pius XI writes the bishops of the world, and he says, "Make it your duty, venerable brethren, to see that sermons are preached to the people in every parish, to teach them the meaning and the importance of this feast, so that they may so order their lives as to be worthy of faithful and obedient subjects of the divine King." So, here is a sermon on the meaning and the importance of this feast. Stunning line in there. We need to order our lives to be worthy, faithful, and obedient subjects of Christ the King. So that begs the question, how submissive, subordinate, and subject am I to Christ the King? Those are cool words. Submissive means to be sent under. Subordinate means to be ordered under. Subject means to be under the jurisdiction of Christ the King. Does Christ rule my life? Does Christ reign in my life? In the last paragraph of that document, Quas Primas, Pope Pius XI does a beautiful little litany in that paragraph. This is how it goes. He says, "Christ must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. Christ must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and the precepts of God. Christ must reign in our hearts, which should spur natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. Christ must reign in our bodies, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls. If these truths are presented to the faithful for their consideration, they will prove a powerful incentive to perfection." That's a great paragraph. Christ must reign in our minds, our wills, our hearts, and our bodies. That would be just a powerful sermon enough just to unpack each one of those. I should probably stop right there, but you know I won't. Because Pope Pius XI says something else which just really shocked me. It was really surprising. It was really kind of radical. That was all easy for me to accept. But when Pope Pius XI in that document said that today's feast is not just individual personal submission and subordination to Christ, but also the submission of society and the government. This is what he says. He says, in Christ is the salvation of the individual, in Christ is the salvation of society. He says, if therefore the rulers of nations wish to preserve their authority to promote and increase the prosperity of their countries, they will not neglect the public duty of reverence and obedience to the rule of Christ. Once men recognize both in private and public life that Christ is king, society will at last receive the great blessings of real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony. Boy, there's a lot in there. He says that Jesus Christ is the salvation of society, not just of the individual, but of society. He says that rulers have a public obligation of reverence and obedience to the rule of Christ. And he says if they do, the fruits of this submission to Christ will be true freedom, well-ordered discipline, and peace. It's kind of radical, isn't it? But it makes sense to me. Why is there not peace in the world? Well, it's not rocket science. It's because we haven't submitted to Christ the King, the Prince of Peace. I really like Pope Pius XI's original idea to celebrate the Feast of Christ the King on the last Sunday of October rather than in November, because the October date reminds us there's an earthly dimension to Christ's kingship. We all know that Christ's kingship will be perfected and fully manifested at the end of time in his second coming. We know that. But Christ is king now. It's not that he will be king someday when he comes again in glory. He is king now. And the modern world argues, well, if you want to make Christ king of your heart, mind, and soul, that's fine, but please don't force him on me. And certainly don't force him on the state, the government, or civil leaders. That's what the world says. And Pope Pius XI says that the rebellion of individuals and states against the authority of Christ has produced deplorable consequences. That was back in 1925. What would he say today? The same is true. You don't even have to enumerate all the deplorable consequences of not submitting to the authority of Christ. The answer to all the problems in the world today is easy. It's Jesus Christ. That's simple. The answer to every single problem is Jesus. Submit to Jesus, and everything will be fine. Every president, every elected member of Congress, every appointed member of the Supreme Court, every king, ruler, emperor, prime minister must submit, be subordinate, and be humble subjects under the jurisdiction of Christ the King. He says, paragraph 19, he says, if princes and magistrates duly elected are filled with the persuasion that they rule not by their own right, but by the mandate in the place of the divine King, they will exercise their authority piously and wisely, and will make laws and administer them, having in view the common good and also the human dignity of their subjects. The result will be a stable peace and tranquility, for there will no longer be any cause of discontent. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? If we want peace and tranquility, he says, submit to the divine king. The Pope says that his kingly dignity demands that the state, the government, should take account of the commandments of God and of the Christian principles, both in making laws and administering justice, and also providing for the young and sound a moral education. Need I say more? The government should take into account the commandments of God and Christian principles in making laws, in administering justice, and in educating our young people. And all of this made me think of Psalm 2, verses 10 to 11. It was the first psalm of the divine office for today. It's how I began. And now, O kings, understand. Take warning, you who judge the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and exult before him with trembling. Today's feast is a merciful reminder to princes and rulers, presidents and prime ministers, to submit to the rule of Christ the King. Indeed, today's feast is a merciful reminder to everyone to submit to the rule of Christ before it is forced upon us. Because Christ must reign, and he will put all nations under his feet. The opening collect for the Feast of Christ the King, composed by Pius XI, was changed in the new Mass. Fortunately, they kept the first half of the prayer, and unfortunately, they got rid of the second half. But the Pope's collect is a very good one. It's what I'm praying for today, and I hope you'll join me. O powerful and everlasting God, who in thy beloved Son, the King of the universe, has willed to restore all things, mercifully grant that all the families of nations, now kept apart by the wound of sin, may be brought under the sweet yoke of his rule, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, unto the ages of ages. Amen.